demand that Libya surrender the two indicted men in the Lockerbie case. The first resolution on that was adopted 1 week before the summit, and the resolution imposing sanctions was adopted 6 or 7 weeks after the summit. Mm-hmm. So Libya was much more on people's minds than Iraq.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I want to go, while we still have a few minutes, to the really philosophical question. What lessons do you think can be learned from the UNSCOM experience? Is it transferable?
Well, I think it would only be in the most exceptional circumstances, and Saddam Hussein is certainly an exceptional circumstance, that it would be justified to go to the extent that we did. That's to say, a man who committed serial aggressions against his neighbors, who had committed serial breaches of his international obligations on weapons of mass destruction, a man who was clearly a threat to international peace and security in a wide number of ways, and who had crowned it all by removing from the face of the world a country. All that doesn't happen every day of the week. One of the reasons it doesn't happen every day of the week, of course, was because we did find the right response, and because even now, years later, when everything hasn't gone that well with Iraq, there are still people around the world who would think twice before doing what Iraq did, and might think that the consequences wouldn't be that different. But I think simply because of having dealt very firmly with Iraq, it is less likely that will happen, and because it is less likely it will happen, it is less likely that UNSCOM will be replicated. Mm-hmm. I think it could happen again. It would be difficult to achieve, but I hope it won't happen, and I don't think it would happen very often.
In this connection, when did you perceive the first serious breakdown in solidarity among the P5, and what was the cause?
Well, it began to be eroded, as I say, during my time here, and it got worse after 1995 when I left. I think there were many causes. The French and the Russians do have their own national agendas, which relate to the resumption of trade, which relate to the payment of debts, which relate to their perception of Iraq as a key player in its region, and that played a role. The passage of time played a role. I'm afraid the international community gets bored. It isn't very good at persevering with a task, if that task lasts a long time and requires disagreeable decisions over a prolonged period. And then I have to say that, in my view, the ambiguity that both the British, to a much greater extent, the United States allowed to play over whether or not they would actually suspend the sanctions regime if Iraq did fulfill all its obligations, that was unhelpful. It definitely influenced a number of people in the Council to feel that their support was being taken for granted and that they were being harnessed to a policy which they didn't believe was the right one for the United Nations, i.e. getting rid of Saddam Hussein.
What was your personal interpretation of the resolution in this respect?
Well, my interpretation of the resolution was really very simple. Firstly, that it was not related to getting rid of Saddam Hussein, but secondly, that Iraq would never fulfill the resolution while Saddam Hussein was ruler of Iraq. So I thought it was an academic subject, frankly.
I see. So you did not reach a decision then in your own mind as to whether, if by some chance the UNSCOM was able to say to the Security Council, yes, there are no more weapons and monitoring is in place, sanctions would automatically have been lifted or not?
I was quite clear that that was what the resolution said should happen, yes. Mm-hmm. I was also clear that I did not think it would happen, mm-hmm, because of Saddam Hussein's presence as the ruler of Iraq. And I don't mean by that because we would be justified in not raising it so long as he was ruler. I mean by that he, as ruler of Iraq, was not going to comply with the resolutions. So I'm sorry, I didn't come to a conclusion other than that I'm clear that what the resolution says. Mm-hmm. Yes.
But just to repeat something, the U.S. certainly on its side did obfuscate this question for
yes.
a long time.
Yes. Right. That's right. And I don't think that was helpful. Mm-hmm. I was believed myself and said so publicly on a number of occasions after I retired, but I said so before I retired privately to people, that I thought we should have set out long before what we would have done with a successor regime in Iraq, how we would have treated it. I think we should have set out roughly what we've done in Serbia now, where the Europeans and the Americans are saying quite clearly all the things they would do with a Serbia if they chose to elect somebody other than President Milosevic as their leader.
Mm-hmm.
I would have liked to have seen that done with Iraq. However theoretical, I would like to have seen it said quite firmly that an Iraq that had got rid of Saddam Hussein and that was implementing the resolutions, the embargo would be suspended.
My final question, because the time is up, I know, pertains to the commission itself. What was your impression of the role that the members of the special commission played?
I can't help you, I'm afraid. I didn't get involved in its discussions. I didn't see very much of the British member who came in and out. Teddy Taylor, wasn't it, I think, in the mm-hmm. early years. So I really can't help you, I'm afraid, mm-hmm. on that. I wasn't privy to it. I had my own dealings with ICAOS, but I didn't conduct them through the members of the commission. I dealt with ICAOS directly.
Mm-hmm. Let me then, at the end, ask, are there some points that you would like to make that you feel are useful and important to get on the record with regard to your experience?
No, I don't think so. I think I've covered mm-hmm. everything pretty fully in this in this interview. I have nothing particularly more to say, other than to say that I do not myself think that because the UNSCOM experience has ended in an outcome that is less than completely successful, one should draw negative conclusions about it. Quite the contrary, I think it was one of the most important and innovative developments in modern times. I think we have lessons to learn from it. Mistakes were made, but enormous progress was made too. And I just hope that we can build that in as one of the building blocks for the rule of law internationally, and not simply concentrate on some of the negative outcomes, which, in my view, are inevitable in international affairs. You never get a complete victory in international affairs. You always are somewhere in a grey area between a complete success and partial success. I think myself that UNSCOM was a very, very important success, but not a total one.
Thank you very much, Sir David.